couple months ago, the most talked about public health epidemic in Massachusetts was opioid addiction. While the COVID-19 pandemic has since taken over, the drug crisis has not gone away, and addressing it has become much harder. New England Public Radio's Karen Brown reports.
In the best of circumstances, addiction is incredibly challenging to treat. Add in the anxiety of a global pandemic and the distance that's putting between people, and drug abuse becomes an even greater risk.
What I'm hearing about is people's mental health and isolation and fear and trauma and how that could exacerbate substance use.
Cherry Sullivan runs Hampshire Hope, a coalition within the Northampton Health Department that addresses opioid addiction. Normally, she would stress the importance of human connection in the recovery process.
And we are in a time where in-person connection is difficult. It can be done, but there are a lot of restrictions, and it can be scary for people.
Hampshire Hope oversees a program called DART, or Drug Addiction Recovery Teams, where police officers and recovery coaches reach out personally to drug users after an overdose or other crisis. But in the pandemic, they've had to scale way back.
We are going back to former participants and giving them calls, trying to check in with them, see where they're at, and if they have any new challenges or new needs. But outreach does have to be limited.
Sullivan says there's no more door knocking, only phone calls. If a police officer responds to an overdose, they'll try to revive the person with Narcan and leave extra with the family, but they don't go back again. Instead, recovery coaches are calling clients more often.
Really trying to make sure that people feel some level of connection to another human being, even if they can't see them in person, is really important.
Drug users can be especially vulnerable to COVID-19. Some are HIV positive, others have chronic disease from years of substance abuse or homelessness. And if they do get the coronavirus, that could make them more susceptible to a fatal overdose. Liz Wynott is with Tapestry Health.
What an opioid overdose is, the person stops breathing, and then if the person already has trouble breathing because of the respiratory infection, that like adds a whole nother layer of worry.
Tapestry normally gives drug users clean needles and Narcan at its community clinics. But to reduce the risk of exposure, the organization is shortening clinic hours and moving to mobile health care. Why Not says staff members drive vans around to the places in Western Massachusetts they expect drug users to congregate.
People will see that we're there, and we are doing everything outside of the van in order to minimize contact with the people that we see.
What keeps her up at night is the prospect of having to close Tapestry entirely, either by state decree or because of staff shortages. For now, she says they've shortened work shifts while paying the staff the same amount. But even beyond the services that keep drug users safe, people in the addiction field are trying to hang on to the services that keep people sober.
Most people are getting treatment for their addictions. Still, although the whole thing feels fraught and scary.
Ruth Potee is medical director of drug treatment for Behavioral Health Network. She's doing most appointments through phone and video. And she's been able to prescribe addiction medication for longer periods of time since the state relaxed its prescription rules.
In order to not have people grouped together every morning in a line receiving methadone, it's one of the worst social distancing models there could ever be.
That's the good news. But drop-in recovery centers have closed, so 12-step meetings and counseling are being done virtually. And detox centers are under immense stress. Potee oversees several of them.
People live in very close environments, and so we're desperately trying to keep people with social distancing and hand washing and keeping everybody well within the unit.
To keep people apart, she says they don't fill as many beds, and that means fewer people can get into detox. What's more, many places where people go after detox, like halfway houses, are not taking anyone new.
They're trying to protect their bubble of healthy people and not exposing them to new people coming in. You can imagine how the pipeline starts to get clogged.
Potee says if people stay in detox longer than usual, the insurance companies will stop paying, and that could make it hard for the centers to stay open. She just hopes the healthcare industry, as well as the population at large, saves some compassion for the epidemic that started well before COVID-19 and will be here after. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.